This is the Doubles Only Tennis Podcast, where you learn the best tips and strategies in the world to help you become a smarter, more effective tennis player. You'll hear interviews with Pro Tour doubles players and coaches, including easy-to-use lessons to improve your game and win more matches. My name is Will Bocek, founder of the Tennis Tribe, doubles strategy coach, and host of the show. Hey everyone, welcome to the show. Today we're going to be doing a U.S. Open doubles preview for you. We definitely want you to be watching as much of the doubles draw as possible. So we're going to get you familiar with each draw, familiar with some of the names, some of the teams, and some of the storylines to follow. And I am joined by Hanlon Walsh today. Hanlon, welcome.
Good to be back as always. Pumped for the U.S. Open and a lot of exciting doubles news that we found out this weekend. So excited to chat.
Awesome. Yeah, there is a lot of exciting news. And I think we kind of have to start with Venus and Serena. They decided, what was it, yesterday to play? Like really last minute, because the draw came out today. We're recording this on Sunday, August 28th. And yeah, I was very excited to do that. It's going to be great for doubles and fun to watch them again.
Yeah, it was exciting to see their name on the wild card list that the USTA released over the weekend. I know we had talked, you know, offline about whether or not they would play or wouldn't play. And I was kind of leaning towards them not playing. And just like you said, Serena, you know, wanting to really prioritize her singles, but I was really pleasantly surprised to see them in on the entry list as wild cards. And, you know, no doubt in my mind that that'll be a Arthur Ashe, or should be an Arthur Ashe night session match. So looking forward to it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'll definitely try to get in and attend that one. It should be Ashe. Maybe they would do like Louis Armstrong or something like that. Just cause it is doubles and maybe Rafa has a singles match or something, but we'll see. But it'll be cool. And they got a decent draw as well. First round, they have Hradecka, and she's playing with a Czech girl that I am not familiar with, Linda Noskova.
She's a young, I think she's 17. She's one of a couple of Czech teenagers who qualified and that are really touted as young teenagers. So it's, you know, it's a bummer that Sania Mirza, who is Lucy's regular partner this year, isn't able to play since she got injured. But this will be a fun matchup, I think, because not only do they have the young, talented Czech teenager, but Lucy Hradecka is a really accomplished doubles player and has had several big matches with Venus and Serena over the last 10 years. In 2012, Venus and Serena beat Lucy Hradecka and her partner, Andrea, who recently retired as well. In the Wimbledon final, and then a few weeks later in the Olympics, both on grass. So they're very familiar with one another.
Yeah. Yeah. So that'll be fun to watch. Then second round, they might likely have Guarachi and Klepak, who are the 13 seeds here. If they can upset them, then they would be probably against the top seeds, Kudermetova and Mertens. But with Serena and Venus, like I don't know. Like, I could see them making a deep run. I really could. Like, I don't think either of them can do it individually on the singles court anymore. But on the doubles court, like, I think they could figure it out.
Yeah, I definitely think so. Like you said, they do have a very manageable draw for being, you know, an unseeded team. It could have certainly been a lot tougher. And not that it, you know, it'll be tough first round for sure. But, you know, if they're able to get past first round, get some form, get some confidence, I think their second round match could very much be winnable against either Gracchi and Klepak or Shelby Rogers and Annette Kontaveit. I would love to see them at least make it to the round of 16 and have a matchup with the top seeds, Kudermetova and Elise Mertens. That would be fun and just interesting to see how the game styles balance each other and match up against between, you know, all power of Serena and Venus and aggressive net play versus sort of the craftiness of Elise Mertens and Veronika Kudermetova.
Yeah, that would be fun to watch. Let's step back and look at the women's draw overall. I mean, there's really, I feel like, fewer guarantees on the women's side. Like, if I have to put my money on one team on either side to say, like, make the semifinal, I'd probably put my money on Rajiv and Joe. Well, Siniakova and Krejcikova maybe, but other than them, there's really no guarantees. And Kudermetova and Mertens, even though they're the top seed second round, they are facing potentially a team that they lost to earlier this year at Indian Wells. So there's really no guarantees, and it's kind of an open draw from my perspective.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, I know Nicole Malacar Martinez and Ellen Perez mentioned that when we talked to them on the grounds in Toronto, just how, you know, open the field is right now. And a lot of the, you know, the teams really haven't played together for super long. We talked about this also, but the eight teams that qualified for the WTA finals last year, I'm pretty sure that Krejcikova and Siniakova are the only team that are actively playing together right now. Everyone else is either split up or, you know, been injured or have other off court things going on. So there's certainly been a lot of shakeup at the top of the women's doubles game.
Yeah. Yeah, there definitely has been. So when we're looking at this, we've got Kudermetova and Mertens up at the top. If we scroll down through here, teams to watch out for. So the three seeds, which are in the top half, is Krejcikova and Siniakova. Even though they're the three seed, I'd say they have to be probably the pick to win it. They've lost only one match that has been completed since last October, so almost a full year, and they've lost one completed match. They did lose in Qatar with a retirement, and it was a few weeks ago in Cincinnati when Melikar and Perez, who you just mentioned and who we chatted with a few weeks ago, did beat them in straight sets in Cincinnati. So that was their first complete match loss in nearly a year, which is unbelievable. And then if we continue to scroll down, we've got Asia Muhammad and Inna Shibahara, who made a great run at Indian Wells earlier this year. Gabby Dabrowski and Juliana Olmos. Julie Xu and her partner Yang, who won Indian Wells in the bottom half. Krafchik and Schurz in the bottom half. And then Goff and Pegula, who we got to watch in Toronto as well.
Yeah, I think going back to, you know, what you're saying about Siniakova and Krejcikova, they will be going for the career Grand Slam this year at the US Open. They've already won five majors together, an Olympic gold medal, and the Billie Jean King Cup title. So, you know, I believe they're both 26. So they could have a very long, you know, doubles career together if they keep playing. And I think if they've already won five majors, age 26, you know, we see people, especially in doubles, playing into their mid to late 30s or even 40s. You know, it'll be interesting to see if they can keep this up, how they stack up to, you know, some of the all time doubles greats whenever they decide to retire, because they look like they're well on their way to being up there with, you know, Venus and Serena or Navratilova and Shriver.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really incredible how dominant they've been. And it's not a story that people talk a lot about. But yeah, anytime I look at the rankings, I'm just blown away at, like, they're all always, I mean, they'd probably be 1-2 or close to it right now if Wimbledon didn't get rid of their points because they won Wimbledon. But you look at it and you look at the top 10 or 20 and they're all playing like 20 plus matches, and then they're playing like 8 and 11 or something. It's really wild what they're able to do. But I wanted to touch a little bit on the doubles race. So this is kind of a fun story personally that I like to follow is this race to the WTA finals. The top eight teams get in, and it has been kind of crazy. I mean, you'll see a lot of people in the top 15 twice with different partners, you know, or top 20. And right now, what I'll do here is read off, let's say, six through about 14 or so. So we've got at six, we have Demi Schurz and Desiree Krafchik. Seven is Krejcikova and Siniakova. Eight is Haddad Maia and Danilina, who made the finals in Australia and I think won a tournament before that leading up. So they had a really good start to the year, but they've fallen off and are now almost outside the top eight. Then Garcia Mladenovic, who won the French Open, Mirza and Radetzka. So they're going to be out for sure since Mirza's not going to be playing. And then we have Melikar Martinez and Perez, who have been the hottest team the past 3 weeks. They've made three consecutive finals and just one in Cleveland. Then we have Hazumi and Ninomaya, who I have not had a chance to watch a lot of, but they, like I said earlier, they upset Mertens and Kudermetova, I believe, at Indian Wells in the first round this year. And a few other teams as we go down the list. Asia Muhammad and Ishibahara are in the draw. And I think that's it as far as teams that are actually in the U.S. Open draw that have a shot at this top eight. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with the draw and who all can kind of make a statement and make a push to that top eight.
Yeah, and I think looking at the top five, you know, Gabby Dabrowski and Juju Omos are number one, and I think that speaks a lot to their consistency. They've, you know, been playing together since the very beginning of the year. I think have, you know, consistently made it to the quarters and semis of a lot of big tournaments. And I think they're just looking for that big major win together, or major, you know, semifinals or finals, because they've come up a little bit short in the round of 16 in both Wimbledon and Roland Garros. So I'd, you know, love to see them make a deep run here in New York as well. Kitchenok and Ostapenko are number two. We got Pegula and Goff at number three, Mertens and Kudermetova at number four, and then Zhu and Yang at number five.
Yeah, so it'll we'll see how the draw unfolds. I'm sure there will be some big kind of quarterfinal, semifinal matchups that might have implications on this. And I'll definitely be tweeting about that as it kind of unfolds, like I said. But again, the main storyline on the women's side before you get to the men's is definitely Serena and Venus. I'm really excited to watch them play.
Yeah, for sure. And I think a few other teams to look out for too. Caroline Garcia and Kristina Mladenovic, they're the number 14 seeds. They won Roland Garros this year, so look out for them in the draw. Sam Stosur is defending her 2021 title, and she's playing, I believe, with Letitia Chan.
That's one
of the Chan sisters. She's unseeded, so they could be a sleeper, potentially pay or potentially play Krawczyk and Demi Schurz in the second round if they both win. And then lastly, at the bottom of the draw, one team that I'm really excited to see is Katie McNally and Taylor Townsend. McNally obviously made the finals here last year with Coco, and Taylor Townsend has had a lot of double success in her career, most recently partnering with Maddie Keys in the Roland Garros doubles tournament, making the semifinals. So if all goes as planned, we could potentially see Katie McNally and Taylor Townsend against Goff and Pegula in the round of 16, which would be really interesting to see Makoko playing against each other on different sides of the net.
Yeah, that would be. Yeah, if McNally and Townsend can get past, it looks like first round, they shouldn't have a problem, and then play Rudolph and Rosolska, who have been pretty good throughout the summer.
Yeah, they have had a good summer.
So that'll be, that'll be a really good second round matchup to watch out for. But yeah, that would be super fun to watch those two go at it. Awesome. So anything else before we get to the men's draw?
I would say the last thing is, you know, Coco and Jessica Pegula may not have they certainly don't have an easy first round against Leyla Fernandez and Daria Saville. So that, you know, if nothing else, I think that'll be just a really fun match with four well-known, you know, top singles players who have each had, you know, their own singles and doubles success. I would expect Goff and Pegula to get through that, but, you know, definitely a more difficult first round than they, you know, than they could have had.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. So, cool. Well, we'll see how this, shakes out, and we'll definitely be, you know, if you're listening and you want to watch and follow along, follow, me, follow Hanlon, follow Tennis Tribe on Twitter. And we're going to have, all the daily matchups, to watch on the women's side, as well as the men's side. So for the men, we've got, we've talked about this and you mentioned it earlier. It's just been a lot more consistent on the men's side, less injuries, a lot of people playing with the same partners. Rajiv and Joe are at the top of the bracket at number one. And there's a bunch of different storylines. Nick Monroe just announced that this will be his last tournament. He's been on the podcast before. We've got the race to the ATP finals in London as well. So there will be a lot of matchups with implications there. Mekic and Pavic are down to the sixth seed, which is still weird to me after seeing a one by their name for so long, to see them all the way down at six. A lot of good stories here. What are you most excited about on the men's side?
There's several first round, potential popcorn matchups, upset alerts to be on the lookout for. And the first one that really caught my eye was Jack Sock and Tommy Paul against Ivan Dodig and Austin Krejci. Yeah. Anytime you see Jack Sock in a doubles draw, I think, you know, if I'm a seeded player, he's the last name that I want to see in my section of the draw. So I think that'll be a great match. And I would give the slight edge to Jack Sock and Tommy Paul.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would imagine if we were to look at Vegas odds or something, they would be favored, even though Dodig and Krejcik are the seventh seed. And looking at so round three, they have the 10 seed Jamie Murray and Bruno Suarez, who have not had the best year, although they did get a couple of wins in Cincinnati a few weeks ago, which was great to see. And that could be another. Bruno mentioned on the podcast about a month ago how he's getting a little older. He's 40, I believe, and you know that could be another retirement coming soon. But yeah, the draw is definitely pretty open for Paul and Sock. I mean, obviously, there's no easy matchups on the men's side. I feel like there's a lot more doubles depth, if you will. But it's definitely a favorable draw for Sock to make a deep run for sure.
Yeah. And I think, you know, the slams playing out the full third set definitely favors the better team or, you know, the seeded team typically. So maybe we'll see less upsets at the US Open than we have the past few weeks on some of these tour events. But Jack Sock is arguably the best individual doubles player in the world, according to, you know, a lot of the media and just other people who have been around the tour for a while. He also got a win against Dodig and Krejcik in the City Open with Kyrgios, so he's got some momentum. And then Dodig and Krejcik have had, you know, several good runs this summer at Roland Garros and some of the hardcore tournaments, but then they've lost actually their last three first round matches leading up to the US Open. So they're not really coming in with very much momentum. So we'll see how that plays out. But I'm going to make a semi-bold pick and go with Jack Sock and Tommy Paul, who's also been in terrific singles form this summer.
Yeah, and he's a good doubles player. He's had some runs at some Grand Slams and doubles, some quarterfinal runs. So he is a good doubles player as well. And there's going to be a lot of implications for the ATP race. So I'm looking at the race right now. So we've got some locks, right? Kulhoff, Skubski are one. And it's not that close. They have, I think, five or six titles on the year. It's insane. Six. Okay. And then Arevalo, Rogier, who won the French, Rajiv Ram, Joe Salisbury are three, Granollers, Zabaios at four, Mekic, Pavic at five. And then at six, Kokkinakis and Kyrgios. I think they are catchable for some of these teams outside the top eight. Putin, Venus, Glasspool, Heliovara. And then number nine is Bolelli and Fognini. All of these teams are actually in the draw, whereas, like I said, on the women's side, you look at the top 15 and there's only maybe seven of them. So it'll be interesting to see which of these teams can make a deep run into, you know, week two of this tournament.
Yeah, Kulhoff and Skubski, definitely another team to watch. They've won six ATP titles already this year, and they both actually have a mixed doubles major under their belt. So I believe that they have more titles than anyone else on tour right now in 2022 in singles, doubles, and mixed. So, you know, that's very impressive. I'm looking at the ATP website right now, and they not only are they first in the race by a long shot, but they have a 45-14 record on the year, which is, you know, about 75, give or take, percent. So really impressive year for them. But again, they're, I think, similar to some other teams that we've talked about. They're just looking for that first major together. And, you know, maybe this could be the one.
Yeah. Yeah, and for people who want some good first round matchups, they play Query and Steve Johnson in the first round, and I don't know it'll be super close, but I can promise you it'll be entertaining. Steve Johnson is always a lot of fun to watch, and he and Query have a lot of fun on the doubles court together. So that will definitely be one to check out. As I scroll up, Gonzalez, go ahead.
Well, going back to Steve and Sam too, they made the semifinals here in 2021 and also in 2015. So I know neither of them are probably in, you know, their peak career form, but they're, you know, definitely not a team to sleep on in the first round. And speaking mm-hmm. of some of the retirement conversations that we've had throughout this episode, I would not be surprised at all if Sam Query announces his retirement after the US Open or maybe, you know, later this year. I know he was given wild cards and his ranking has dipped a little bit. He hasn't had a great year. So wouldn't be surprised if he hangs up the rackets this year also.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll definitely keep an eye on that. And then if we scroll up, Ebden and Purcell play Gonzalez and Multini in the first round, the 14 seeds. So that's a great matchup. Let's see.
It's kind of surprising that Ebden and Purcell, and then again, I forgot about the Wimbledon ranking points, you know,
yeah,
to see them unseeded in a draw after winning Wimbledon. But that's, you know, the downside for all the Wimbledon winners
right.
have gotten those ranking points.
Yeah. I mean, it's a huge impact, right? They wouldn't be facing a seed in the first round. So both teams kind of get a tough draw because of that. But Panna and Middlekoop are the nine seed. We've got Chris Eubanks playing with the former Florida star Ben Shelton. That'll be a fun team to watch for sure. Hopefully they can win a round or two. They're all in Granollers and Zabaios quarter. And then an interesting one that you mentioned before we started recording was Arevalo and Rogier. First round, so they played John Peers and Alexei Popyrin, and I watched John Peers in Montreal a couple weeks ago, and he is playing super well. I watched his first round win against Murray and Suarez, and he went on to make the finals of the tournament, I believe. And he's playing with another Australian, Alexei Popyrin, who's more of a singles guy, but that's a tough first round matchup if you're the three seed.
Yeah, that's three top 10 doubles players squaring off in the first round, which is unfortunate for really both teams, but especially I would say for Cello and Rogier. They've had some tough draws this summer since they won Roland Garros. I think they've lost to Jack Sock in the first round of two different tournaments. So that's, mm-hmm. you know, never a good first round draw like we just talked about. So they could certainly use a little bit of momentum too. But I think, like you said, John Peers has had really strong summer. He made the finals in Montreal. And then I also got to see him in Atlanta playing with Jason Kubler. I saw them win a very impressive semifinal match. And then they ended up losing a tight final to Kyrgios and Kokkinakis in an all Aussie final that the Atlanta fans were all about. So I think, you know, that could be a potential first round upset as well.
Yeah, it definitely could. And then when I'm scrolling up here, so we've got Kravitz and Mies. So they are sitting. I watched them practice in Montreal, and they're fantastic to watch as well. So they are sitting at number 10 in the race. So this is a big tournament for them. They're trying to crack into that top eight, and they play the All-American team of Giron and McDonald in the first round. And overall have a pretty straightforward draw for the first several rounds until they're in Mekdic and Pavic's quarter. So that would be a really good third round matchup. And then let's see. Kokkinakis and Kyrgios have Glasspool and Heliavara in their quarter.
They Raven also Clawson and first round and singles too, which will be fun to watch.
Okay. Oh yeah. Interesting. Okay. Raven Clawson and Mello are also in that quarter. So a good veteran doubles team there. Let's see. Yeah, I mean, without a doubt, Tommy Paul, Jack Sock versus Dodik and Krejcik is the best first round matchup. That will be a lot of fun to watch. Any other storylines that that you're following before we get to maybe a couple of picks for each draw?
I think just some of the teams trying to regain some form, like we talked about, like Mektić and Pavic are seeded six. They've kind of had a peaks and valleys type of year.
Yeah.
Another team that we haven't mentioned yet who, you know, has a much lower seed than you would expect from the past few years is Cabal and Farah. I think they could certainly use a good tournament here. So just, you know, we'll see what, and then you said, you know, Murray and Suarez, they've not had a great year in terms of their, you know, career caliber in the past. Yeah. So some of these veteran teams just, you know, trying to regain some momentum and form as we close out the year, you know, the next few months.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And Murray just won Winston-Salem. I forgot who he was playing with, but I guess.
Oh, yeah, Bruno, that was with Matt Ebden.
Okay. Yeah, that's right. I saw that. So that's encouraging for them. I guess Bruno was resting up for the US Open. Another thing that to look at is, you know, we've talked about how good Kulhoff and Skubski have been, but I don't think they've made a huge run in any of the majors, really. Have they made it past the quarter of any of the majors? Maybe a semifinal, but for a team with six titles, you know, you'd think, and leading the race by that much, you'd think that they would have a major under their belt, but they really haven't been a huge threat there.
Yeah, that is a really good point. They, looking at their record now, looks like they made it to the quarters at Aussie Open, quarters at Roland Garros, and then lost in the round of 16 at Wimbledon. So, you know, certainly not a bad doubles year by any means, but for a team who's won six titles on the ATP Tour, you would think that, you know, the slams that they would have at least have made one semi or a final so far. So I think they'll be itching to get that monkey off their back.
Yeah, definitely so. All right, so let's do a couple of picks. Who do you got on the men's side?
I'm going to go Ram and Salisbury. I think they were another team that, you know, has had a really consistent year, and then just won a big title in Cincinnati, and they've come up really short. They lost a heartbreaker in Wimbledon, and I think it's, you know, I think they're due for a US Open title.
Awesome. Yeah, safe pick there, but probably a good one.
Really going out on a limb there.
Yeah. I'm going to go with Kulhoff and Skubski. I think they've been the best team throughout this year. And for whatever reason, it hasn't worked out at majors, but I think that they're going to figure it out. I think over time, the best team is going to rise to the top. And I think they have been the best team this year. So I'm going to go with them, teams to watch for. Well, let's say a dark horse team, and you're not allowed to pick Paul and Sock.
Dark horse team. That's a good, I don't know if this, I mean, they could be a dark horse or more just a, you know, definitely a fan favorite, and you mentioned them earlier, but Chris Eubanks and Ben Shelton, I think will be a lot of fun to watch. And they honestly, you know, both have a lot of momentum coming in singles. Ben Shelton's had a bunch of big wins, got a wild card, and then Chris Eubanks qualified, won three matches in a row, a couple of really tight three setters. And they both, you know, former collegiate tennis players. Ben Shelton just announced that he's going to go pro and won't be going back to play in the NCAAs next year. So I think they'll definitely be a fun U.S. wild card team to watch, regardless of how far they go. But that was another team that, you know, will definitely stick out to fans.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to say because it's the U.S. Open, and I know the crowd just always gets behind these U.S. teams. Kudla and Tiafoe is interesting to me. Like, they're both, you know, more singles players, but they do play some doubles. Tiafoe's had some decent doubles results over the years playing with Nick Monroe and a few other players. And I could just picture them in my head making a run in doubles and the crowd just really getting behind them and them both like embracing that and getting into it with the crowd. So I'm going to go with them. They do not have an easy first round matchup against Bublik and Rune, but I'm going to pick them for my unseeded non-Jack Sock dark horse.
Yeah, I don't know if we can count Jack Sock as a dark horse, even though he's not seeded these days, but he would be an easy one to pick. But yeah, I think Francis, you know, he brings such high energy and the crowds love him everywhere he goes, but especially in New York, he'll be a big fan favorite.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. So who's your pick on the women's side?
I think this isn't going out on a limb either, but got to go with the number three seeds, Krejcikova and Siniaková. I think they'll win here and get the career grand slam. Part of me wanted to say Goff and Pegula, but I have a feeling that at least one of them will make it pretty far in singles. And maybe different because they get days off as opposed to like we saw them in Toronto and Pegula was pulling, double shifts. Really, both of them were pulling double shifts.
Yeah,
several days in a row, but I like Krejcikova and Siniaková to get there. I don't think they'll make it as far in singles, and they've got a lot more experience winning at Grand Slams than any other team in this draw besides Venus and Serena.
Right.
So that's my pick.
Yeah. So Krejcikova and Siniaková at the Australian Open, they dropped one set. It was in the finals. The French Open, they didn't play. Wimbledon, they dropped one set in the quarterfinals. They've lost one match in the last like 11 months. Yeah, I'm picking them too. I think you have to. They're just way too good. If you are a club player listening to this and you want to improve your nut game, watch Katerina Siniaková. And even like during the point, don't watch the ball, just watch her. She is
terrifying.
Yeah, she's unbelievable. So that's my pick as well. We'll call it a dark horse, non-Serena Venus pick.
I would say in this, they've had such a good summer, so I don't even know if you would consider them a dark horse at this point. But Melikar Martinez and Ellen Perez are certainly coming into the US Open in really top form. I believe they're maybe the 10 or 11 seed. I need to look at the draw again.
11, I believe. Yeah.
11. So that, you could potentially count that as a lower seeded
10, you're right, 10. I'm sorry.
But they're 12-2 in their last three events. They made the finals in Toronto and Cincinnati, and then they just won in Cleveland. So they're certainly coming in with a lot of confidence. So expect them to do well.
Yeah. I'm interested to see how they do, if they can keep that momentum, because I know that they're, I was a little surprised after making the finals in Toronto and Cincinnati that they played Cleveland, but then I looked at the standings for the year in finals and they're like right there. Like they need a few more points. And if they can get to the, quarters or semis, that might be able to get them over the edge to get into that top eight, or even, get to the finals and win the thing. Let's see. So my dark horse pick would be, I'm just scrolling through the draw here. I want to kind of pick an All-American team again, but that's partly selfish of me. I actually do really like the team of Buzkova and Siegmund. Lara Siegmund won the US Open back in 2020 with Vera Zvonareva, and she won Miami earlier this year with Vera Zvonareva as well, and she's another great net player. I did the scouting for Melikar and Shu against them in the 2020 US Open final, and I remember watching her at the net, and she was tough to game plan against. She is very, very good at the net. And Buzkova's had a pretty decent doubles career as well. She's played a lot with Hrdečka and I imagine learned a lot of double strategy and tactics from her. They do play Xu and Yang in the first round, which is a very tough matchup. But if they get past that, I would not be surprised at all to see them make a decent run here.
Yeah, that's a good point. Another great first round matchup that we, I don't think we had mentioned yet. And I remember watching Buzkova and Indian Wells against Jessie Pegula really just kind of tore to pieces in that third set. So that was really, I had heard of Buzkova before, but I'd never seen her in person and was just really impressed that she was able to pick apart someone like Jessie Pegula, who's been one of the best players on tour this year. And she really just took it to her. And then also recently won her first, I believe is her first WTA title in front of a home crowd in the Czech Republic earlier this summer. So she's coming in with some good form also.
Yeah, absolutely. Awesome. Well, yeah, this was a lot of fun, Hanlon. We're going to try to do...
Mixed doubles.
Do mixed.
I don't think the draw's out, but Desiree Krawczyk is going for her fifth mixed doubles major in 8 attempts. And fifth she's also trying to defend her US Open title from last year.
Is it fifth and 8 or fifth and 7? I think it's in 7. She's won four of 6. Yeah.
Fifth and 7. Even more impressive.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
Kind of becoming the mixed doubles specialist if there is one. I know there's only really mixed at the slams and exhibitions. But she's really been impressive in the mixed doubles field, both with Neil Skupski and Joe Salisbury.
Yeah. And that'll start up. I don't think that starts till week 2. I think it'll start Sunday, maybe next week. So definitely watch the mixed doubles draw as well. It's a lot of fun to watch that as well. Thanks Hanlon again for hopping on. Thanks everyone for listening. Definitely watch as much of the doubles as you can at the US Open. I'll include it in the newsletter this week, directions on how to watch. I think it'll all be on the ESPN app, and you might have to sign up for like a 7-day free trial or something, where you pay the $7 or $10 for a month and just cancel after that. But it's well worth it during these majors to have the subscription and watch stream as much doubles as you can. So watch more doubles, everyone. Thanks again for listening, and I will talk to you in the next episode. If you're a doubles player, you'll love our weekly strategy newsletter. Every Thursday, I send you my best doubles tips, tactics, and strategies that you can use in your very next match. And when you sign up, I'll also send you a free 20-page ebook that has my favorite doubles tactics for forcing errors and getting more easy volleys at the net. Go to thetennistribe.com/newsletter to sign up now.